Ooh-wee! Look at what that pressure make a golfer do. Sorry, Rory.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
You know, there's several different ways you can work your weekend, right? Sometimes you have yourself a nice lazy weekend where you just kick back on the couch, you watch a little sports, maybe a couple of movies, you eat some snacks, you get a little fat and happy. Lazy weekends are fun. I had myself an intentional and productive weekend. I had a lot of fun. Checked out some new spots around the area. I also did a lot of revamping to my living room, and also, C-Cat, most importantly, I got back on that Traeger grill.
Wow.
Hopped right back on the horse. I know last time we talked about me on the Traeger, it was disappointing. I thought I could just slide by and make the burger sliders with ease. Not a lot of prep. This time I went in and I overprepared and I did ribs for the first time.
Wow, that was a look-ahead spot. The sliders were a look-ahead spot.
Yes.
You know, you had the Titans coming to town. You thought you could kind of sleepwalk through the practice week and mop through them. No, it didn't happen.
I was up late like the Dolphins were on the Titans. Up by 13, 2 minutes to go, and boy, did they come back and get my ass. And that was the reason why I was feeling a little down that day after the sliders. But I put ribs on the grill this weekend. Whoa. Just yesterday. Some baby back ribs, and boy, were them things not tender. I tried to do the fall off the bone, but no, I had to cut them things off the bone. So I'm still learning, still working. By the way, if you have any Traeger tips, especially when it comes to the ribs and on how to make them fall off the bone, my line is open right here. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. It was a little embarrassing, but the sides were hitting. The mac and cheese and the baked beans never fail. So we did recover on that. Someone who wishes they could have recovered on their weekend and undoubtedly is likely just not having a good one bouncing back off of what happened Sunday is Rory McIlroy following that U.S. Open meltdown. A total and utter embarrassing meltdown. McIlroy, who led by 2 strokes with 5 holes to go at the U.S. Open. It had been 10 years, 2014, since Rory McIlroy was a major champion in golf, a guy that had that start of his career that was so promising. We were having thoughts of Tiger Woods, similar to the Scottie Scheffler situation. Thoughts of Tiger Woods' run early with Rory McIlroy. And that right there, the dismantling of his game, the missing of 2 putts from within 4 feet in the matter of 2 holes late in the U.S. Open, opened the door up for Bryson DeChambeau, who ended up taking it all right there, the 124th U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau gets the victory. But what's on a lot of people's mind is what did happen on that back nine at Pinehurst number 2? What was the result? What really happened down there? And I hate, C-Cat, when we get into this discussion when it comes to other sports of, did this guy win it or did this guy lose it? So that's exactly what we're doing here on Theoretically Speaking today. Did Bryson DeChambeau win the U.S. Open or did Rory McIlroy fumble it away? And we put up a poll, actually, a Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the week on ESPN West Palm on Twitter. At ESPN West Palm, you can vote right now. Was this a Rory win or a Rory loss or a DeChambeau win or was it a mix of both? But right here on the airwaves, we're not playing the fence. We're going to go one side or the other. And to me, in other sports, when you do it in the NBA, it's tougher to call. When you do it in the NFL, it's a way harder struggle and a tougher battle to decipher through. But what I saw out there from Rory McIlroy on that back nine with a lead, with a chance to break a curse, at least what it feels like to be a curse, a guy that continues to finish top 10 but not hoist a major championship, Rory McIlroy utterly meltdown in that situation, and that was a loss more so than it was a Bryson DeChambeau win, however spectacular that that chip was out of the bunker for Bryson DeChambeau. I legitimately cannot believe what happened right there to Rory McIlroy, especially given that he was my pick on Friday when we took it to the house, C-Cat. I went with Rory McIlroy. You went with Bryson DeChambeau, your guy from LIV Golf, and I thought I had it in the bag. I was literally grilling my ribs, and as I was growing my confidence in how the ribs were turning out, because they did look beautifully coming off that grill. They did look luscious. They tasted delicious as well. We got the flavoring right. As I'm watching the U.S. Open and getting my ribs right, I see that meltdown, and I had a similar look on my face when I noticed how just thick and tough the ribs were. That was absolutely disastrous. It was absolutely a Rory McIlroy loss and not a Bryson DeChambeau win. We're actually going to open up the Baptist Health Hotline early today, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Was the 124th U.S. Open, where Bryson DeChambeau wins it with a putt that he called one of the greatest moments of his life, was that a DeChambeau win or a Rory McIlroy loss? 888-760-3776. That's the Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. 888-760-3776. Was it Rory fumbling away a chance at breaking his major drought, or was it Bryson DeChambeau and his heroics down the stretch that actually clinched the victory? And again, I tell you, I've never seen something look so bad. I mean, I could have made those putts. And C-Cat, you've seen how terrible I am, especially in my short game on the greens. Yeah, like within 4 feet, what was the number for Rory? Like 496?
Yeah.
For 496 all season long, it's not even a layup. Calling it a layup is almost too soft, because you can miss a layup in an NBA game. That putt, unhindered, that's got to go in.
That was ridiculous on 16. And then to follow that up with missing a tougher putt on 18, but a putt he should have made nonetheless, it was disgusting. He made 4 birdies in 5 holes on 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And then he just absolutely bleeped the bed. 3 bogeys in his last 4 holes, 2-shot lead, looking like you are who everyone says you are. And then all of a sudden, he proved the haters right.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is again, with Rory McIlroy, nobody's doubting that he's a talent. Nobody's doubting that he's one of the greatest golfers in the world. But there's a lot of people who doubt he will win a major again, especially with performances like this one and the ones he's had for the past 10 years. Finishing top five, actually, 10 different times, I believe it was, Rory McIlroy. And now still coming up majorless, his last one, Valhalla, 2014. That's a long time ago. 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Was this a Rory McIlroy loss or a Bryson DeChambeau win at the U.S. Open? Jalen in North Carolina jumping on Theoretically Speaking, coming off of a Father's Day weekend, coming off of a Rory meltdown. Jalen, how is this anything other than Rory McIlroy just totally letting it drip down his legs?
Well, I think, Theo, man, first of all, appreciate you having me on. I was actually boots on the ground earlier in the week at Pinehurst, so I just wanted to let you know. I had a little inside there to the practice rounds. And I mean, from Tuesday, Wednesday's practice rounds, you look Rory. He looked very confident. He looked very strong out there on the range. You know, as you watch everything that unfolded this weekend, I'd have to go and say this is a Bryson DeChambeau victory only because this is something we've become accustomed to when it comes to Rory McIlroy, right? Mm. I mean, 2015, he had his first ever chance to win a Grand Slam, right? The career Grand Slam, and he choked that away. I mean, it's something we've seen multiple times.
Mm.
I mean, he did an Open Championship before. I think that was in 2010. Not 100% on that, but I mean, this is something we see even at non-major events. Rory McIlroy, he's right there. A lot of times he's the bridesmaid, never the bride, man.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, because he's a good golfer. I mean, the skills are there, one of one, but it just looks like, I mean, I don't know if he has the ability just to close the deal. I mean, it's been a decade now, like we said. It has the game. The next question.
That's a great call right there, because, and appreciate the call, Jalen. That's actually a even more demoralizing way to look at it. I hadn't heard it put that way, but like, is it just a DeChambeau win because now we're accustomed to McElroy folding in the big moment? Like, is he now like the Jason Tatum of golf? I mean, he's already won a couple, like four majors, right, already.
Yeah, he has a history of winning, but that's becoming ancient history. What have you done for me lately? It does not matter if you won a tournament last weekend. You got to do the same dang thing this weekend. It's easier said than done. Where you're saying whoever happens to be the running mate with McElroy, whoever's one, two, or three, you can kind of default, put that second or third guy, give him the gold medal, give him the trophy, because Rory's going to fall out no matter what?
Well, then that would further prove my point then, that it wasn't a DeChambeau win. It was he was the guy that was going to be second, but Rory fumbled it away. Like, and you can tell also by the way that Rory got his ass up out of there right afterwards that he knew he fumbled it away. Like, no better tell that you know it was all on you when you escape before talking to the media. I think back to Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers in that Super Bowl when he didn't fall on the fumble. He catches all that flack. He exits that press conference. You don't want to face the fire. You don't want to talk to the media or to the public following one of the biggest disappointments of your life. Like, I don't blame Rory McIlroy for getting out of there in time, because that was literally a mental meltdown. Like, if in the biggest moment, one of the brightest spots of your career, something that's as routine that you literally have done nearly 500 times and have aced it every single time, you fail on that and then similarly miss another putt on 18 just two holes later in a similar spot, like, that's all on you. You make those two putts, you win the U.S. Open. You make at least one of them, you potentially go to a playoff against Bryson DeChambeau. But especially when you heard DeChambeau afterwards talk about how he heard the moans of the crowd when Rory McIlroy missed that putt on 18, and he knew he had a window of opportunity. That doesn't sound like, to me, a guy that went out and won it. That sounds like a guy who was right there for the taking, almost like a dog. You know, when a dog gets some scraps off the ground, like, is he really eating, or is he just getting the scraps of your meal? Like, DeChambeau was there to eat it off the ground because Rory fumbled it. It didn't feel like it was great. Now, again, the one thing that guards me from that, like, that bunker shot.
Yeah.
Whew. That's crazy.
Ridiculous up and down. I think there was like a 2% chance this ball was going to be in the hole after two shots when that ball was put in the bunker. It was ridiculous to bunker shot, but Bryson had his B game almost all weekend, Saturday into Sunday. The dude couldn't hit a fairway. I think he was like 4 for 18 hitting fairways in a course that should be punishing you for that. It didn't matter. His scrambling and his two-putting was just off the charts good, but Bryson didn't have his A game, and that's damning when you're going against who should be the world number three in Rory McIlroy.
Well, the guy that's right here in our backyard, Jack Nicklaus, the Bear, he said it famously, like, the game of golf, 90% mental, and it felt like a very mental meltdown for Rory McIlroy in this one. It didn't feel like a Bryson DeChambeau win. As much as the heroics, as much as it looked good down the stretch, or at least that shot did itself, and him sinking that putt and having the great moment, it did feel more like it was Rory opening the door for him, and he just walked clean through it. Again, you can jump on Twitter at ESPN West Palm and vote on our Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the day. Was that a Bryson DeChambeau win in the U.S. Open, or was that just a Rory loss? We'll give the results of that later on here on Theoretically Speaking. We're still taking your calls on, was this a win or a loss? 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. And in many other sports, C-Cat, it does feel foolhardy to have this conversation because you're able to be out there on the field, right? In football, I know for Josh Allen in the 13 seconds game, we look at that one and say he played his tail off. He had an immaculate run. He did what he was supposed to do, but the Chiefs went out there and won it. Like, that's not a Josh Allen loss, but it is a Bills loss. That Bills defense was out there. For Rory McIlroy, and at least with the game of golf, it's more so you versus you, you versus the course. And when you have a lead like that going into the final five holes of a major like that for Rory McIlroy, you losing that one,
yeah,
I got to put that one on the guy that fumbled it away, not just the guy that took advantage of it. 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. We've got Segway Sean in West Palm Beach. He's on Theoretically Speaking. And first, before you give me help with the ribs, Sean, before you give me help with the ribs that did come out a little too tough, was this a Rory loss yesterday or a DeChambeau win?
No, it's a standard Rory. I'd love to be standard Rory, you know?
Yeah. He walked away with $2.3 million, man. You know, he flew away.
Yeah, exactly. He's talking about eating ribs, you know, he's doing whatever he wants to do today. But anyway, yeah, he always comes up a little short when you think that he's got it all together. Sounds like something he typically would do. It's not surprising, I guess you could say.
Not surprising, and that I feel like is the most disheartening part about it, looking from afar. Yeah. But you said you had some help for me on the Traeger grill with the ribs, trying to make them fall off the bone. I tried to go with the 3-2-1, but it ended in sad defeat, almost worse for me than Rory McIlroy. What do you have for me on that Traeger? What's a quick tip you can give me, man?
I've been off the radio for the last 50 minutes or so, I don't know if somebody else already called in and gave you any basic tips. But what I can tell you is, obviously smoking for, a few hours or whatever, 6 hours they do on a smoker. But I'm not sure how long it takes on a smoker. But I know that's obviously the ideal way to do it, low and slow, to have them fall off the bone. But if you're going to do it on the grill, the only way that I've found that you could possibly do it is either do grill and then oven or oven and then grill. You know, I always do like about an hour and a half at a low temp, like 250 for like an hour and a half, and then kiss them on the grill and then sauce them. And that's always sometimes those people say that if you put them in the oven first, then they'll fall apart by the time you put them on the grill. So you could do it the other way around, kiss them on the grill for the marks and the outside searing, and then put them in the oven for a little bit of dry heat. But
a little blend.
Either way, you can't just put them on the grill like a hamburger. You can't just put them on the grill. It's going to take longer than that for the muscles to break down, tendons and stuff to break down. It's going to take a lot longer than that. So
That's real. And I appreciate the call segue, Sean. I mean, it's a little blend of both. Just like some people are going to try and say, it's going to be a little bit DeChambeau win, a little bit Rory loss. Give it a little blend of the oven and the grill. I've been hearing some hints of that. I might try that thing out. But at least I was not defeated by this. At least I got back on the horse and got on the Traeger and tried my hand at it. And Rory McIlroy, he has no choice, right? Like, he's going to be at that British Open. He's going to try and end that major drought. But especially coming off of this one, C-Cat, I just don't see how those thoughts don't creep out of his mind. Like, if you look at all the statistics, if he's going down on the back nine with the lead again at a major, I mean, must-see TV, but also, like, that is maybe the most crippling pressure I can think of for any athlete right now in today's landscape.
Well, he's back on the wagon for the British Open, but he's going to be back on the wagon next weekend.
Yeah.
PGA Tour has scheduled a premium event next weekend, the Travelers Championship, because these guys want longer time off in between. So that means you stack the majors with the premium events. He's going to show up on Thursday, if not earlier, for the Travelers, and he's going to have to perform. Because if he collapses and doesn't make the cut there, or, dare I say, even worse, falls up short and chokes away a lead next weekend, people are going to be talking, and it ain't going to be great about Rory.
It will not be. If it's not great for you out there on the road, well, might I suggest a solution? If you get into a car accident, a truck accident, a slip and fall, Anajar and Levine accident attorneys, Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, they will fight for you. They don't get paid unless you do. That's how it works. Rory still got paid, by the way, $2.3 million. For missing those putts, I'll take that bag. They get you the maximum compensation you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't just settle for any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes one phone call to take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Now, it's a packed show today. We have Evan Cohen coming up. On the other side, we're going to talk some NBA Finals with him. We'll even talk some Rory and DeChambeau. And also, it's a Duffy's MVP Monday, the greatest sound in sports. We leave you with our first Duffy's MVP candidate of the weekend, the person that shined the brightest. And C-Cat, it comes from the U.S. Open.
Of course. I mean, this was 4 days of golf, and it was great every single day. It climaxed on Sunday with the best back nine I can remember watching since the 2019 Masters when it comes to majors. But I'm a Bryson DeChambeau fan. I'm a Crushers fan. I was rooting for Bryson all the way over the weekend, but
you're wearing your hat.
I'm wearing the hat today. If you're watching on YouTube, at Theo Speaking, my Crushers GC hat. But Bryson's not the Duffy's MVP that came from the U.S. Open this weekend. It's Francisco Molinari. Dude, on Friday, he needed a hole-in-one on 18 to make the cut. If he doesn't get a hole-in-one on this par 3, he goes home, having to pay his caddy, having to pay his airfare, having to pay his stay, not making a dime from the PGA Tour, not making a dime from the U.S. Open. So he needs to hold this one to make the weekend. And that's what he did.
Unless he pulls a Sepp Straka.
Good.
Oh, we've got a good bounce. Look at this. Look at this. Come on.
Ain't no way.
Come on. Oh my God.
This is the first time that has literally ever happened. No golfer has ever needed a hole-in-one to make the weekend, to make the cut, and actually achieved it. That's why he is historically my Duffy's MVP of the weekend, no doubt about it.
That's going to be hard to top. We'll give out a couple more candidates throughout the show and give you the winner, the Duffy's MVP of the weekend at the end. I think that one, I mean, talk about unbreakable sports records. Cal Ripken, I think you got a new leader in the clubhouse, if you will. We're bringing in Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. We'll ask him about that one, too, as well as the NBA Finals. Do they end tonight? Or do we get one more game? Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike gives us insight on Theoretically Speaking. After the break.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight on ABC. You can hear it here on ESPN 106.3. The Mavericks looking to stave off elimination. The Celtics looking for the gentleman's sweep to end the NBA Finals. That 18th banner hanging from TD Garden. That's what they want. We've been giving out Duffy's MVPs of the weekend, and I'd be remiss if I don't give out one quickly before we bring on Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, who's going to chop it up with us for a little bit here on Theoretically Speaking. My Duffy's MVP candidate from the weekend is a man who appears often on Unsportsmanlike, Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider. And the reason he gets it from me is because, well, Brian Windhorst may be the very reason why we have NBA basketball tonight. Following that Game 3 loss of the Dallas Mavericks, C-Cap, can we play that snippet where Brian Windhorst literally went after Luka, almost as if he was his own son, on ESPN SportsCenter that night?
You've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
And he did. And the Mavericks won Game 4 in historic fashion, a 36-point win to extend the NBA Finals to tonight. And on comes Evan Cohen, host of Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. Evan, you had Wendy back in the studios this morning, and he was making more news and headlines like the dude can't miss at this point.
He's amazing. He is unbelievable what he's able to accomplish. He is at the highest of levels. He's not Dr. Neil Goldhaber level. I mean, nobody's there. I got to shout out my guy, Dr. Goldhaber, by the way, Theo. You know that I've been talking about Goldhaber on ESPN West Palm forever, right? I mean, this is the greatest of ear, nose, and throat doctors out there, and he's been in Florida for over 20 years. He's got the nasal. He's got the sinus. He also treats patients with snoring and sleep apnea. He's located in Boynton Beach, where you know I lived for a long period of time, corner of Boynton and Jod, and he has a state-of-the-art office, procedures to help improve breathing and nasal symptoms. You can schedule an appointment, breathe better today. Visit GoldhaberSinus.com or 561-734-3636. My buddy Dr. Goldhaber is a huge Knicks and Rangers guy. He thought this time of year was going to be all about his team. He did not think it was going to be about the Oilers and the Panthers, the Mavs, and the Celtics, as you've been talking about. But you guys out there can talk to Dr. Goldhaber. GoldhaberSinus.com, 561-734-3636. He makes headlines when we talk on the phone, and he helps people breathe better, just like Wendy does. And, yeah, Wendy dropped the nugget today. I got to be honest. I didn't know, and I was embarrassed, honestly, and I have no problem. You know me well enough to know. Like, if I don't know something, I'm going to tell you and let you make fun of me about it. I didn't know that if the NBA season ends tonight, players can sign extensions with their own teams starting, or they can negotiate them starting tonight.
Yeah.
If the season ends. Now, why is that relevant to the masses? Well, all of us Heat fans that have our sights set on Donovan Mitchell, he may have a long-term deal with the Cavs by the end of this evening, Theo.
Man, it's incredible that, number one, the NBA, like, rolled this out, and I feel like there weren't major headlines around this, or that it didn't make that much of a buzz. It's also incredible that Brian Windhorst knew. He had the news judgment to make that announcement today, because as a person who stands by all Celtics hate, I can't wait. I cannot wait for when they do finally drop this 18th banner and win the championship, yeah, which is inevitably happening.
We want them to win.
Right. Well, like, now once it happens, guess what? The headlines for that's going to dissipate once we learn about 2, 3, 4 extensions or the non-extensions that become more headlines, because we're going to be focused on next year earlier than ever. This has been like one of the biggest NBA finals where it feels like, though the basketball is going on, the headlines around the NBA have superseded the coverage of the Celtics winning a championship, and I couldn't be happier, Evan.
Well, it's interesting you say that, and I'll post something back to you. Which sport has the best non-on-field court ice conversation? Because is it the NBA? Is it the NFL? I feel like baseball has shot itself in the foot. It was forever, right? Like, hot stove was baseball.
Yeah.
But what you just said, your take on the NBA Finals is now, because of what Windy said on our show this morning here on ESPN West Palm from 6 to 10. What he said was like, hey, the offseason kind of starts tonight, and now you're giddy for the offseason. I get that Celtic hate is in there. I don't blame you for all of us as Heat fans. But still, like, NFL offseason is amazing. We love the draft. We love free agency. But I feel like the NBA is as high up there as could be with this.
Well, the difference is there's more impact with player movement in the NBA. So, like, if one guy, like if Donovan Mitchell is announced to go to the Miami Heat, or if he's announced to stay with the Cavaliers, that makes more of a difference than, say, some kind of free agent shift in the NFL, especially because you don't get a lot of quarterback movement. So I think the NBA already has the mantle.
That's it, what you just said.
Yeah. Right?
The most important position in all of team sports is quarterback in football. Because, and I, when you say position, right? Because basketball, like last year, the Nuggets beat the Heat because they have the best center in the world. This year, the Celtics are going to beat the Mavs because they have the best 3-and-D wings in the world. Those are different positions. Guess what happens? Patrick Mahomes on your squad wins a Super Bowl because he's the best quarterback in the world. If Boynton Beach, where Dr. Goldhaber is, if Boynton Beach's own Lamar Jackson wins the Super Bowl this year for the Ravens, it's because he becomes the best quarterback in the world for this year, right? Like, it's always that position, and you're right. Yeah, we get a Kirk Cousins, we get a Matt Ryan trade, like, but the Matthew Stafford. The reality is, more times than not, we don't have the elite quarterback movement, which is why, yeah, I guess other sports become more interesting in terms of the non-on-field court or ice conversation.
That's 100% true, and the NBA players, like, have more visibility, more marketability, and also it's less of them on the court at one time. So one guy going to another place makes a hell of a lot more of a difference. Evan Cohen joining us here from Unsportsmanlike. You hear it here on ESPN 106.3, 6 to 10 a.m. every morning. Evan, is there any team I'm really in favor? I was really happy that Joel Embiid was up on the NBA Finals desk during Game 4 just to spew some hate on those Boston Celtics, just to get a little bit last take. It did look a little weird for me, because for both Embiid and Paul George, they were bounced from the first round, so it's weird for them to pull up to the NBA Finals. But it got me thinking, Joel Embiid traveled over 1,000 miles just to go publicly hate on the Boston Celtics. Is there any team that you have that much disgust for, that much angst for, that you would travel over 1,000 miles just to get some takes off on national TV?
Boy, that is a great question. First of all, a couple of backstories on this. Number one, Paul George was working the finals. Embiid showed up to the finals. Two different things, right?
right.
In terms of the conversation, like, literally, Ryan Windhorst told us the story this morning that Tim Bontemps, his teammate at ESPN, found Joel Embiid walking the hallways, and he's like, hey, you want to go on Countdown? And he's like, all right. Like, that was the booking. It was you and Eli, basically, is what happened here. I mean, it's just like the most random of things. Now, that said, okay, second part of this. The team that I dislike the most that I would travel for a while it was the Celtics. For whatever reason, I don't have the sports hate to steal a Chris Canty term that I used to have. I don't. The Celtics feel a little bit more likable right now.
Wow.
For whatever reason. You don't think so?
What is it? I mean, I don't know what necessarily is likable about them other than the fact that we've seen them fall so often on the biggest stage and now they're finally getting their coronation. Jrue Holiday does make them a little bit more of a formidable team to me, like a more serious squad. And the lack of Marcus Smart, I think, is what you're feeling. I think that's what helps it. But likable, that's a stretch.
I said more likable.
Yeah,
I'm not like rooting for them outside of what you said.
That's just Marcus Smart leaving. That's all that you're feeling right there.
Yeah, I would say the Jets. I mean, I don't have to travel too far for that. But by the way, the Marcus Smart thing very quickly. Marcus Smart, one of those guys you hate when he's not on your team, but like I'll take him on the Heat tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, I would take him on the Heat tomorrow if that was an option. But I would say the Jets. Just all the Aaron Rodgers stuff. The Jets fans are so annoying, obviously. I would say the Jets are the team that if you said, like, hey, you got to get in the car or plane, whatever it is, and you got to travel really far just for the opportunity to hate on them, I think the Jets would be the one.
I absolutely love the visual of this because I want to, like, see that person, like, I mean, check a bag at the airport. Now you're boarding a flight. You know, you have to scan. You're boarding, and you're in boarding group 5, and you're waiting all this time just to go out there and say, yeah, Aaron Rodgers ain't going to make it past week 3. The Jets aren't going to make the playoffs. Like, that would be a great visual. We need to make that happen, actually. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike joining us here on Theoretically
and by the
Speaking.
Way, I shouldn't say that, Theo. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I shouldn't say that. Because literally last preseason, I go to a Jets game with my son, who's now 10. We go on the field pregame, and my son and Aaron Rodgers have a catch.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, you.
How could you hate on that man and that team?
Biting the hand that feeds you.
I know.
And more catches.
What? Did you just casually drop that your son played catch with Aaron Rodgers right here on Theoretically Speaking? Have you told this story before?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. Not on your show. I haven't. But I've told this story before. Yeah, we were on the field pregame and just hanging out. And then Aaron Rodgers was throwing the football with a bunch of people on the side. He threw a ball to my son. My son dropped the first one, picked it up, threw it back to him. And Rodgers threw it back to him to make sure he would catch the second one, which he did. And then he threw it back to Rodgers. Yeah, I have the whole thing on video, too.
It's pretty incredible, man. I mean, that's amazing stuff. And also on top of that, I love the fact that your hate for the Jets persevered through that moment. That's some real sports hate.
Well, you have to remember there's some alignment here, right? Like I'm talking about my buddy Dr. Goldhaber. He's a huge New York Giants fan.
Yeah.
That stadium that happened in, that's their stadium with the Jets. And so like I gotta stay true to my guy. Goldhaber would hate if I all of a sudden was praising the Jets. So I know he listens. And I got to make sure that he knows that I'm hating on his rival team as well. Shout out to Goldhaber, GoldhaberSinus.com. Anyway, you were saying? I'm sorry.
Big shout to Goldhaber. This makes me reflect back to something we were talking about last week, and I'd love to hear your opinion on it, though, too. The Jets handing over their franchise to Aaron Rodgers just to have a win total of 9.5 on Hard Rock Bet, just to have an expectation of maybe making the playoffs and winning a game. Is that literally, like, does that feel worth it for that franchise? I know they haven't been in a big game since, like, 2010, but to me it feels a little bit counterproductive to hamstring your franchise to a 40-year-old quarterback if your expectations aren't to lift the Lombardi Trophy.
Well, I think that everybody, like, gets all of a sudden influenced by Brady. I know that I am a Brady lover. For those who aren't aware, I do love Tom Brady. I am a huge fan of Tom Brady's. I love Bill Belichick. Like, I love these guys in terms of, like, the fandom, the sports fandom. I think everyone thinks because Brady did it that everyone can do it, which is crazy. And when I think we're going to see, and I'm not a LeBron lover, as you know, Theo, but, like, I think we're going to see a lot of NBA teams think, oh, well, LeBron could do it till 40. Maybe we can hang on with player X until that point. There's a reason Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and there's a reason LeBron James is LeBron James. Hall of Famer, he's not Tom Brady. Like, the assumption that he should come off Achilles injury and think that the Jets are contenders is just crazy. I mean, if you think about it right now, the favorite in that division would be, I would assume, the Buffalo Bills, right?
Yeah.
We know the Bills would be in last place in terms of the Hard Rock odds, I'm sure. Are the Jets, in your mind, closer to the Bills or the Patriots?
They're closer to the Bills. They're closer to the Bills, especially with the roster being a little more depleted than it was in the prior years. And like, who's Josh Allen going to be relying on in the passing game heavily? Is it going to be Keon Coleman, who Brandon Bean was already talking about is has a lot of ground to make up? But it's a fair point that you're making that they feel so volatile that you can compare their plight. You can compare their anticipation for this season to the Bills. But I also would not be that surprised if they won six games. Like, it's an incredible situation out there for New York. But I love it, though. Continue the Jets hate them. Continue the Jets hate them. Evan Cohen, we got to get you out of here. We got to talk about Baptist Health. I appreciate you pulling up on us, man. And yeah, man, like, who you got Haslam meeting your son. You got Aaron Rodgers throwing catch with him. Who's next, man? Who's next in line for you?
Wow, that's a good question. Who's next?
Yeah, like,
I don't know. Michael
Jordan?
Tyler Hero. I had him meet Tyler. Well, Michael Jordan, forget it. I'd pass out.
No, Evan would have
be able to talk.
Evan would hoop with Jordan. He'd push his kid to the side.
He would literally push his kid out of the way. Evan, appreciate
the time. Okay, very quickly, 10 seconds. Stephanie Prince, our market manager at ESPN West Palm, was on PGA Boulevard one day at a restaurant. She calls me and she says, "You're not going to believe this. Michael Jordan is at the restaurant that I'm at right now." I was literally leaving PGA. I saw MJ and his family outside, and I couldn't get out of the car. I was like, I can't bother him. Are you kidding me? And I kept driving. I knew exactly where he was, and I could have seen him, and I didn't do it.
Coming from the man that patted Drake May on his back right after he got drafted and told him you're a Pats fan.
Well,
that was
I got kicked out of the draft for that. So that's exactly why I didn't do that, Theo. Good point.
That was great restraint, Evan. Great restraint. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That's Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. And you know what I just realized, too? I didn't even give him a happy Father's Day. Do you give a happy belated Father's Day the day afterwards?
I think you
What's
do.
The rules on that?
I think you say, like, how was the Father's Day weekend, implying that you're acknowledging that they are a father, but you don't say it outright.
You know what? I'll do that with our next guest then, Mike Tannenbaum, who's going to be joining us on the Baptist Health Hotline. And speaking of, is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. We learned today that, well, HBO's Hard Knocks in season will debut December 3rd. And you know what division they're carrying this year? C-Cat.
Who's that?
The AFC North.
Yes.
So we asked Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL GM, former Dolphins vice president, who he thinks will disappoint the most from the AFC North. We're going to get a debut of this thing on December 3rd. Mike T is going to let us know by that date what team we're going to already be down on. A lot of big teams in the AFC North, so stick around for that. Plus the get around, theoretically speaking, on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Rory McIlroy, what he did last night, what he did at the U.S. Open, absolutely abysmal. We asked you on our on-air poll of the week by Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections, did Rory McIlroy lose the U.S. Open or did Bryson DeChambeau win it? 47% coming in at first place. You want to guess what the people said, C-Cat?
Mix of both.
Nope.
Whoa.
Rory lost. 47% say Rory lost. 32% say mix of both. And 21% say Bryson DeChambeau won it. So they agree with me. Rory McIlroy missing those two putts, routine putts for a guy like him. I mean, if I miss them, nobody blinks an eye. That was abysmal. It was a meltdown, and it was a mental meltdown. The Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections present to you the poll of the day. You know, the August primary elections coming up, August 20th. Mark your calendars. And Florida is a closed primary state, which means that voters can only vote for candidates in the voters' same party. Eligible voters, make sure you vote in one of three ways: by mail at an early voting location from August 10th through August 18th, or you can do it on Election Day, August 20th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Visit votepalmbeach.gov to view your status and learn more We'll see you at the polls. Coming on with us now is former Jets general manager and former Dolphins VP Mike Tannenbaum, currently ESPN insider, but first and foremost, the job above all is a father of two. Mike T, how was Father's Day weekend for you?
It was great, thank you. Appreciate you asking, and what a great event yesterday watching that U.S. Open. If you're a sports fan, that was just as great as it could be in terms of competition for you.
Now, we just got done talking about this, Mike T. I say that Rory McIlroy lost that one more than Bryson DeChambeau won it. What's your take on it with Rory giving up that lead with five holes to go and a couple of short putts?
Yeah, sorry, we were talking about that as well. I would say this, if Bryson won, I would say Rory lost until that bunker shot. That bunker shot was unbelievable skill under incredible pressure. 55 yards away to knock it that close. I think he won it, but I certainly understand that point of view.
Got you, Mike Tannenbaum, joining us here. Talking a little golf off the top, a little Father's Day action, but let's get into some football. We got the announcement from NFL media today that the AFC North will be the in-season Hard Knocks team. We'll get the debut of that on December 3rd. The AFC North, which to me, of all of the divisions right now, that's the most compelling one. You got four teams. All of them have playoff aspirations. All of them likely come into the season expecting to go out and win that division. So, Mike T, when I ask you, when you look around the NFL right now this offseason, is there any division more compelling right now than the AFC North with the Bengals, Ravens, Browns, and the Steelers?
Yeah, I agree. The only other one to me is the AFC West, because I think the Jim Harbaugh impact on Justin Herbert will be really interesting. I would say Kansas City is going to be Kansas City, but who's their left tackle? And I think the Chargers are going to run the ball more and be really hard to beat.
Right, that's going to be a tough one up there with the defending champs and so many personalities. If we get back to the AFC North here, which of these teams do you think is most likely to come up short of expectations? The Cleveland Browns obviously made the playoffs last year, but you got to see what you're getting out of Deshaun Watson. The Steelers, who don't seem to be they seem to be impervious from losing seasons, they've got a quarterback situation to figure out there. And then the Bengals, obviously missing the playoffs last year, you got a lot of guys coming back from health, but then there's issues around the receiver room, both guys looking for a deal. If you look at the landscape of the teams in the AFC North, which one do you have your eye on the most where you think this could be a year where they fall very much so short of expectations?
I think it's Cleveland. You know, when was the last time we saw Deshaun Watson really play good football? I think it's about 4 years ago in Houston. So, look, they made the playoffs last year with four different quarterbacks. I mean, that's really hard to replicate. So I think that's the team that's really going to struggle at the end of the day. And I love Baltimore, especially with the addition of Derrick Henry.
One team that's a little might be a little disappointed right now, the Atlanta Falcons. General manager Terry Fontenot fined $50,000. The team fined $250,000 for their tampering, getting Kirk Cousins and a couple other free agents in there. I saw your tweet. You said it was like driving 60 in a 55, not really a big infraction. But when these kind of fines come down, I mean, is Fontenot really about to write a $50,000 check to the league? Is that how that works when you're a GM and you get fined for a situation like this?
Yeah, I mean, you can appeal it, and sometimes, like, very quietly, they'll reduce it, you know, or let you pay it out over time. So, you know, maybe he gets a little bit of a raise from the team as well. You know, they did get Kirk Cousins out of it, so that's a pretty good result at the end of the day.
Have you ever been in a situation where the league fines you or somebody on your staff?
I could say it did happen once with a Brett Favre injury reporting issue, so it happens from time to time to the best of us, Theo.
Understandable. Completely understandable. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here, former Jets GM, ESPN insider here on Theoretically Speaking. One last one on the way out the door, Mike T. I'm curious. I know you're saying that it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase who's the next one to get the big payday for the wide receivers in the NFL right now. What is your read on actually Tyreek Hill? It feels like a lot of his momentum through camp and a lot of his verbiage with reporters has been that he wants to sign something new with the Dolphins. We saw Waddle get paid. We're still waiting on Tua, even though we saw Trevor Lawrence get his big payday. Is a Tyreek Hill extension even something that we can foresee happening this offseason, or is that something that's going to have to wait because of how many years is left on that deal?
Yeah, well, you can also move money around. You can take money from the last year and front load it. Sometimes that's a way to solve a problem. So look, he's played great for them, and I would gotta think that's going to be a priority to make sure he's happy heading into camp.
Appreciate that, Mike Tannenbaum. Enjoy your week, and I'm glad you had a nice, satisfying, and relaxing Father's Day weekend, man.
All right, thanks so much. Look forward to touching base next week.
All of that golf talk as well with Mike T off the top, it has me a little bit hungry. And you know, the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center is exactly where I go. Of course, Mike Tannenbaum, always presented to you by Eisner Ampner. And my golf game, well, that's brought to you by the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, KaiserGolfCenter.com. You got to go out there with the Seahawks and train like a pro, indoor or outdoor. It doesn't matter, rain, sleet, or snow. That means you can go inside of that 2,000-square-foot indoor facility, three different hitting bays, ball flight technology, video analysis, and you got your coach right with you to help you through your swing. Get that swing better. It's the summertime. I want you getting around the course a lot better come this fall and be birdieing all around. Don't be bogeying down the backstretch like my guy Rory. KaiserGolfCenter.com. The Seahawks help you train like a champion. KaiserGolfCenter.com to get signed up for lessons today. When we come back, we give the Duffys MVP of the weekend and take you home. It's Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Time to take you home here on Theoretically Speaking on a Duffys MVP Monday. And the only way to take you home is by delivering your MVP of the weekend. Our candidates from this weekend: Troel Embiid for traveling over 1,000 miles just to hate on the Boston Celtics. Brian Windhorst for delivering a better Luka performance and giving us more NBA basketball. And the winner of the Duffys MVP of the weekend comes from our third candidate, C-Cat.
Francesco Molinari. Hole in one to make the cut. Your last hole. Unbelievable. Gotta give to the dude.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. And all of those different sports we talked about, of course, you can watch them at your nearest Duffy's Sports Grill. I mean, the cat's crazy. It's catching on at Duffy's Sports Grill. Head on over to your nearest Duffy's to catch every minute of Florida's quest to win it all. One more game. With over 80 TVs in every location, you won't miss a single minute of the action. Every goal, every save, every big hit. Catch it all at Duffy's. And Duffy's once again voted the best sports grill in 2024 because of those award-winning burgers and award-winning wings. Plus two-for-one drinks all day, every day. DuffysMVP.com at Duffy's. Our game is always on. Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight on ABC. We got Celtics-Mavericks for our playoff payoff. The spread is 6.5. The Celtics favored to end it tonight. I have the Boston Celtics covering and hanging the 18th banner. C-Cat, what you got?
I'm with you, Theo. I want to go opposite of you to possibly make up ground, but I simply can't. Boston rolls tonight.
Yeah, the Mavericks gave it all they had in Game 4, plus no more Wendy to help motivate them. ESPN 106.3, Theoretically Speaking. Go in love, go in peace, go enjoy.